All right, what are we doing now? We're doing the talk now, right? Okay? Okay. Say what? Yeah, my other hat. Yeah, okay. All right, so welcome, everybody. It's been just a beautiful opportunity to see all of you here today, and I'm just so grateful to be here in this spiritual center. As you know, it's been quite a time we've been having in the news with shootings and fires and California literally burning at both ends and just so much stuff going on, you know, some things in people's personal lives that are coming up that I'm seeing in prayer requests. And sometimes when a lot of things like that are going on, it makes you wonder, where does gratitude fit into all of that? You know, is it appropriate to celebrate gratitude when there's so much stuff that's going on that's so distressing? Well, in this teaching, we believe that gratitude is always appropriate, that we are to be grateful in all things, not necessarily grateful for all things, but grateful in all things, that we find the source of gratitude in everything. You know, the other night, many of us attended an interfaith service. Some of the choir sang, and a lot of people from the center came. It was at the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Ventura, and it was a bunch of different ministers and congregations of different faiths getting together. It was there were Christians there, and the people from the Jewish temple Beth Torah were there, and a Buddhist monk, and all kinds of people from other faiths. The Baha'i community was represented as well. And it was lovely. Our choir sang and did a beautiful job, one of the things that struck me the most, though, was something that the Seventh-day Adventist minister said. You know, first of all, we were talking about how appropriate it is to express gratitude, even in times of distress. But then he also said something else that really, really touched my heart. And that was, he was talking about, as a Christian, as a Seventh-day Adventist, he believes that heaven is a physical place where you go to after you die. That's a little different than what we teach. Not that we don't believe that, but we teach something slightly different. But he looked out over the congregation and he said, you know, heaven is a physical place and we go there after we die, and I know that I will see all of you there in heaven. And he said this to a room full of people of different faiths, which is different than some of the Christian teachings that I grew up with, where it said you had to believe this certain way in order to be in heaven. And it was a beautiful moment, a beautiful moment of inclusivity and a beautiful opening where it felt like grace poured into the room and there was this deeper understanding among people of all faiths, that we really are one and we really are the same, and that is something to be grateful for. And I wondered at that time, it was so beautiful and so precious that he said that. And I think part of its beauty was in contrast to those who do not believe that, and in contrast to the many, many times that I've been told that I'm going to hell because of this teaching. You know, when I lived in New York, I was like a magnet for proselytizing fundamentalist Christians. I'd sit on the subway and they'd come up to me and be like, I'm doing a crossword puzzle. What's a five-letter word for your personal savior? I'd be like, not sure, but I know a five-letter word for get away from me. But anyway, did not hear that from me. So, yeah, you heard that from that singer that was up in the loft. That was somebody else. So, you know, it contrast creates beauty, and I think that's part of what's going on in the world, is that there's so much contrast, and even in all of that, we can find ways to be grateful. The name of this talk today is Extravagant Gratitude. So, yes, we are certainly called to be grateful in all of the things that seem obvious to us, that we have. Hopefully we have a home and we have enough to eat and we have friends and we have all of these things. We have our bodies, our beautiful life. We get to live in California. You know, all of these things are things that are kind of obvious to be grateful for. When you came in the door, if you didn't get one on your way out, we had a list of gratitude prompts, things that were maybe not quite so obvious, things to cause us to go a little bit deeper in our extravagant expression of gratitude. Those are from Nipun Mehta, one of our friends of this community that has a global kindness and generosity organization. But when I talk about extravagant gratitude, I'm talking about something even beyond the obvious, something even beyond the things that stretch us into things that we might take for granted. I'm talking about extravagant gratitude in absolutely everything. The things that really challenge us, the things that cause us distress. Can we find a way to be grateful in those moments as well? Can we be grateful beyond our capacity to be grateful? Last week I spoke about loving beyond our capacity to love, surrendering to something greater, a force greater than ourselves, and saying, Spirit, help me love better than I can love. And I'm recommending today that we all do that with gratitude. That to practice extravagant gratitude is to notice when we are in a funk, when we are upset about something, and say, Spirit, help me find something to be grateful for right in this moment. It doesn't necessarily even have to be what's going on right then. It can be, well, I'm grateful that I have feelings, or I'm grateful that I'm breathing, or I'm grateful that my blood is circulating. But help me find something to be grateful for in this moment. Yesterday, I did quite a bit of reading about gratitude, and I read that there are so many motivational speakers and so many scientists and so many psychologists that believe that gratitude is one of the primary keys to happiness. In the articles that I read, it talked about how gratitude can help with psychological symptoms like depression or anxiety or excessive worry or any things like that, guilt. Feeling grateful can help us with our insides. It can help us overcome shame or low self-esteem. And also, I read that gratitude helps in physical ways, too, that people who are grateful tend to sleep better. I'm really grateful, and I don't sleep very well. But maybe I'm doing it wrong. I don't know. But people who are grateful tend to, in most cases, sleep better, that they tend to be healthier, that their relationships tend to be better than those who are not grateful, that they are more creative, more productive, that they have better work-employee relationships, employer relationships, that gratitude is just this miracle cure for so many things, that gratitude can actually rewire our brain for happiness. And that's one of the beautiful things about gratitude, is it's one of those things that we get mixed up in terms of cause and effect. We think, when I'm happy, then I'll be grateful. When I have something to be grateful about, then I'll be grateful. But it's actually the other way around. Gratitude is causative. When I am grateful, then I'll have something to be happy about. When I'm grateful, I will be happy. Because you can't hold distress and gratitude at the same time. It just makes sense to find ways to be grateful. Not only is it helpful in all the ways that I just named, but gratitude actually, through neuroplasticity, rewires our brains. You know, there's a lot of talk about neuroplasticity, and I read a little bit about it yesterday. There's tons and tons of articles about it. But generally, in general, the article said that our brains are pretty much wired for distress. You know, we want to see what's wrong. The example that they gave is if you're a cave person, didn't say caveman, I was politically correct, wasn't I? If you're a cave person, you want to know which are the poison berries. So you're always looking for the poison berries so you don't eat the poison berries. Or you want to know when that mammoth, woolly mammoth, or that saber-toothed tiger, or that gigantic rabbit is going to come and bite you. Many of you know I have a gigantic rabbit at home that has a little biting issue sometimes. You want to know that, so you're always looking for that. And in the article that I read, it said that, yes, that stuff is important for our survival, but only to a certain extent. What has happened, it's like he said, we're using old software to live in the modern world. So everybody think about the first computer that you ever had. How many of you had an Atari for your first computer? You went, yeah, good. Yeah, we were so excited about that Atari, weren't we? And it was a dinosaur. But, you know, it's like you're using Atari software where you could be using Windows, whatever they're up to now. 10, is it? 10? Yeah, I don't know if that works so well. But anyway, we have this outmoded software of looking for the poison berries or looking for the saber-toothed tiger. And the way that plays out in our lives now as grown-ups trying to live and move and have our perfect being here on the planet Earth is that let's say that we're stuck in traffic. And let's say we're from Kansas and this is the first time we're ever stuck in traffic, right? And we say, wow, this is annoying. I want to get to where I want to go. So we start building a neural pathway that says traffic annoying, traffic annoying. And the article I read said, first we just lay down a board, and that's our neural pathway. But then we get stuck in traffic again, and we think, wow, I think I need some rope handles on this board, or a second board, and we lay down that. And then we get stuck in traffic again, and we say, well, I'm on this road a lot. I'm going to make it firmer. I'm going to make it out of cement. And by the time we're stuck in traffic, and a number of times we've established the pattern that traffic means a really bad mood, and we've created this superhighway to a really bad mood, right? So there may be things in our lives. There may be things in our lives that we are reacting to in a way that is less than grateful, where we are expressing things that are not gratitude, and we're just continuing to reinforce those neural pathways that we have within us. One of the beautiful things that I loved about these articles that I read about neuroplasticity is that they completely left out the spiritual dimension. There may be articles out there about that, but I didn't see it when I was looking around. Because what I see is that In this center, we speak a lot about absolute and relative reality. And so much of our ingratitude, of our lack of gratitude, is because we are holding up a relative perception as the truth. We have a perception that this is a bad thing, and that creates a neural pathway in our brains, right? And so, anybody ever do that? Right? Yeah, constantly making neural pathways about this is a bad thing. When we are starting to release that, when we move into gratitude and questioning that, we move beyond the ideas of right and wrong into Rumi's field, into this place that is beyond our personal perception. And to me, that is the definition of the soul. That is the definition of the absolute. It is the land beyond the world of our personal perception. So spiritually speaking, when we practice gratitude, that is an invitation to the divine. That is an invitation to move into the land beyond wrongdoing and rightdoing, where the world is too full to talk about, where it's infinite, where it's powerful, where it's completely love. That is the invitation when we practice gratitude. You know, and it can seem like things are really a tangled mess sometimes on the planet Earth. It seems that way now for a lot of us. Did any of you see The Shack, that movie, The Shack? Yeah. It's a beautiful movie. I have to warn you, it's quite distressing. It's very sad at the beginning. It's about probably the worst thing that could happen to anybody. But it has much beauty in it. It's mystical Christianity. And in this movie, they're talking about how life is so tangled and messy, and they're standing in a garden and everything's overgrown and there's weeds and there's twigs and there's leaves and there's all this beautiful metaphorical mess in this garden. And then the camera pans out and you see that it's part of a beautiful mosaic of swirls, like a mandala. You know, and that's really what our life is. When we practice gratitude, it's like the camera pulls back and we get to see something bigger. The thing about gratitude, though, is that it will not impose itself upon us. Gratitude has to be chosen, and that's where we come in. That's where we enter in. You know, I love to play with words, and it strikes me as delightful that we can be in a state of ingratitude. We can be in ingratitude, but if we move from ingratitude to in space gratitude, then that's a powerful choice that we make. And the power is in the space. Don't you love that? Don't you love that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love that. The power is in the space, which reminds me of something that we teach here a lot that a lot of you are familiar with, right? We talk about pray, P-R-A-Y, right? P is for what? Pause, good. Not dog pause, but pause. P-A-U, push the pause button. Step back. R is for respect. Good job. Respect. Respect, which means to look a second time. So we pause, we look a second time, we respect. We look a second time at what is causing us distress. A is for appreciation. We start to appreciate the gift that is in it. And Y is for yearn. We yearn for the spiritual truth behind all appearances, P-R-A-Y. P-R-A-Y, pausing, respecting, appreciating, and yearning can move us from a state of ingratitude to being in space gratitude. I rest my case. But I'm not done yet, okay? Because it is my obligation as a spiritual speaker to give you a personal example of how this principle has worked for me. That's what they teach us in ministerial school, and that is my story, and I'm sticking to it. Right, Karen Mondragon, Judy Pando, Karen Mitchell, right? Okay. All right. So last week I spoke about loving beyond our capacity to love, and that was a huge mistake because I was tested, okay? I had to love beyond my capacity to love a whole lot last week. awful being me. No, I'm kidding. It's not. I knew I was going to be speaking about gratitude as well. So I was sort of playing with this idea of loving beyond my ability to love, loving beyond my capacity to love, and also being grateful for things that I didn't really feel grateful, in things that I didn't really feel grateful about. One of the things that happened to me, through me, last week was that I made a bunch of mistakes in relationships. I put my foot in my mouth many times. Well, let's just say three. Let me just tell you, it's nobody sitting here. When that happens in church, people are like, was it me? Was it me? Was it me? It's not. It was, well, no, it wasn't anybody here. I'll tell you who one of them was, because that's the story that I'm using to illustrate this point. The first time I did it was actually Sunday, right after I had spoken about, or right before I had spoken about loving beyond our capacity to love. You know, our singer was Gino Walker, big, rowdy Gino Walker, who's like a powerhouse. And I made a joke, and it felt like it fell kind of flat, like I may have hurt her feelings with this joke. And it was something that we joke about a lot. It's I can tell you what it is. It's the band will back me up, Chris. That Gino is such a free spirit that sometimes when she brings in music and rehearses it, it doesn't go quite that way in the service. It kind of takes its own path. And we've joked about that a lot, but I made a joke about it backstage before we came out, and it was in front of other people, and it just felt like it didn't sit right. And so driving back from the church, I was reviewing the day in my mind, and I was thinking, you know, you should probably check in with Gino and apologize. Why does that seem so hard sometimes, to apologize? It wasn't a horrible thing that I did. I didn't feel badly about it. I mean, I felt badly about it, but I didn't feel awful about it. It just felt like it would be too vulnerable, like it would lead to a conversation that I maybe didn't want to have, and I just did not want to apologize. So I went to Sprouts after church, and I'm there pawing through the bin of, you know, delicious chocolate or whatever that they have there. And I look up, and there is Gino. Wearing her bright red dress and her rhinestones. And I just said, okay, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so I spoke to her, and I apologized. And I said, you know, I made that joke, and I wasn't sure if it sat right. And it led to a beautiful conversation. And then because God is so hilarious, we left, we went our separate ways, and every light, the next three lights that I pulled up to, she was right next to me. And we rolled down our windows, and we continued the conversation. And so that was loving beyond my capacity to love, and it actually stimulated this gratitude beyond my capacity to be grateful, because as I said, I kept putting my foot in my mouth and making, you know, my sense of humor is a little inappropriate at times, and please. and so I kept making jokes that didn't quite sit right with people, and you know, the experience with Gino and the thing about practicing gratitude beyond the capacity to be grateful made me appreciate so much of it. You know, it made me appreciate that I had made a mistake. Has anyone here ever appreciated a mistake that you've made? Yes. Yeah. So that's on the list that we handed out. You know, what's the best mistake you've ever made? It made me appreciate that I had made a mistake because I was able to engage in an intimate conversation with someone, and I was able to practice the art of forgiving and being forgiven, right? The other thing, too, is that it caused me to look at my own lack of desire to be in a vulnerable position, I can't even say it, be in a vulnerable position and open up, and my resistance to that and my lack of intimacy, and that's such a good thing to know. It's such a good thing to know that type of thing about ourselves, right? If that's what you want, you know? And the other thing that was, I think, really profound for me was, I remember a time recently, and again, this was nobody here, when somebody really hurt my feelings. It was a couple of months ago, and it takes a lot to hurt my feelings, and this was so out of the blue that it shocked me that it hurt my feelings. And I remembered what it felt like to have my feelings hurt, and I actually felt grateful for that. I felt grateful that my feelings had been hurt, because now I could have compassion and empathy for the people whose feelings that I might hurt. And I will hurt other people's feelings. It's just part of the job. It's what I do every Sunday. I hurt people's feelings. You know, I say the wrong thing or what have you. The other thing too, you know, speaking of what I do, is that I make people mad at me. People get mad at me or disappointed in me. And I was grateful for that as well. Because when somebody is angry with you or when somebody is disappointed with you, you get to practice so deeply. You get to practice forgiveness and compassion and self-care and good boundaries and recognizing that Terry Cole Whitaker thing, that what you say about me is none of my business, sort of. To the point that I take it on, or if I really have done something wrong, then it is my business. So all of this from simply saying, Spirit, I want to practice gratitude at a deeper level. You can have all that too. Yay. You can make horrible mistakes. you can put your foot in your mouth. You can make jokes that make people cringe. You can have people angry at you. You can disappoint people. Don't you love this church? All of these possibilities that I'm promising you? You know, and the truth is that we probably all will do that from time to time. We probably all will show up and we'll wake up human one day. You know, one of the apologies I did, the person that I emailed about it, she wrote back and she was telling me that she had been the one at fault. And I was like, no, absolutely not. We both woke up human that day. That's all that happened. So we woke up human. And now we get to express and connect on this deeper level because we woke up human. It's what I said about the Christian minister, you know, how what he said was so beautiful because the contrast exists as well. So this is the promise to all of you, is that gratitude is a game changer. Gratitude is a life changer. Gratitude opens us up to possibilities beyond our imagination. Gratitude is one of the most amazing gifts that Spirit has given us. Gratitude is the power and the presence that lives and moves and has its perfect being that moves us into that place, into that land beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, where we are all one, where we never walk alone, where we are always connected, that place beyond our personal opinion, that place beyond our perspective, that place that we call love, that we call God, that we call truth. That's what simple gratitude can do for us. And it is available for everyone. For some of us, it is especially available, the opportunity to practice is especially available during the holiday season. Sometimes, before spending time with my extended family, who I love them dearly, but I practice this thing called pre-forgiveness. I forgive all of the ways that they're going to offend and insult my delicate ego before I get there. And I recommend that with gratitude, too. Let us together practice pre-gratitude and just know that when we get together with our families, when we go home for the holidays, even if we're alone on the holidays, that we will find something to be grateful for. Pre-gratitude, practicing gratitude, is a beautiful affirmation of support. When we practice gratitude in advance of what happens and during what happens and after what happens, it affirms that the universe is here to support us, that something good will come out of this, and we can trust. That is what I wish for everybody here on this beautiful Sunday. For our new members, let us together know that we are supporting you on your spiritual path. We are supporting you in trust and in forgiveness and in deep, profound, beautiful gratitude and pre-gratitude. And for all of us old members, for all of us seasoned members that have been here for a long time, the same thing is true. We allow this inspiration of new membership to take us back to our roots where we are blessed, where we know that in every single absence there is a presence of God, and in every sense of ingratitude there is deep gratitude. Let us know that now for ourselves and change our lives. Let us pray. And so we turn within and connect with that beautiful place that has never left us, that beautiful ocean of goodness and gratitude and grace that is the truth of our being, that thing itself that is the love of God, that is creation. Today we connect with this truth and know that it is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, that it is right here, right now, in us, with us, as us. And from this place of knowing, we have a bigger picture. We have the broader sense of what reality is. We know that beyond our opinions, there is this beautiful, absolute reality, this beautiful state of grace. And we step into that with truth and love and compassion for the journey. I trust that today we have been touched through this time together, that the fellowship, that the humanship together has lifted us up into new levels of understanding of our spiritual path, not only individually, but collectively. I trust that the work that we do in ourselves blesses the entire world. And I trust that ever more and ever more, it becomes easier and fulfilling and delightful to practice gratitude. To practice gratitude beyond our current capacity to practice gratitude. I know that when we do, because this is just the truth, that our lives expand in miraculous and beautiful ways, that everything changes when we are grateful. And so I'm just so grateful for all of this. I'm so grateful for these words that I've spoken. I'm so grateful for everybody here today. I'm so grateful for the transformation that I know, that possibility that exists within us always for infinite expansion and infinite grace, infinite good in our lives. I'm grateful for this spiritual teaching. I bless all paths to God, churches, synagogues, temples, mosques, ashrams, fundamentalists, atheists. I bless everyone. I bless all beings because all beings are a blessing. And with a heart that is so filled with love and so filled with gratitude, I say thank you, Spirit. Thank you, God. And I release these words into the divine mystery. And together we say, and so it is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed. Trusting and knowing this divine blessing that flows through us in miraculous ways, we prepare our offering in this state of goodness, in the state of generosity. Just trusting that we give freely, that Spirit gives freely through us, and that our gifts do miraculous things in the world. I invite you in this spirit of generosity and circulation to, if you like, place your hands over your heart and please repeat after me. We trust in Spirit.
We trust in Spirit.
God is the giver and receiver of all that we are.
God is the giver and receiver of all that we are.
We offer our gift.
We offer our gift.
They are an outward expression of inner abundance.
They are an outward expression of inner abundance.
Our gifts bless many. And return to us multiplied in miraculous ways. And so it is. Thank you so much for joining us. Please feel free to join us through those doors there. New members get your certificates and your flowers, and have lots of good stuff to eat. Go to the boutique downstairs. It's lovely. Please repeat after me, and then we'll sing. I am a center of love.
I am a center of love.
I am love.
I am love.
I share love.
I share love.
I serve love.
I serve love.
Love is who I am.
Love is who I am.
Thank you for my love.
Thank you for my love.
Thank you for my life.
Thank you for my life.
And so it is.
May peace prevail on earth. May peace prevail on earth. May peace prevail on earth. May peace prevail in me. May peace prevail in me. May peace prevail. Prevail in you, may peace prevail in you, may peace prevail in you, may peace prevail on earth, may peace prevail on earth, may peace prevail on earth. Ha 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 ha.